Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, Indiana, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor Bill Smoots delivers the message entitled, Grace Will Walk Us Home, May We Be. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Friends, when we come into worship, we come carrying all kinds of things, and often we come carrying burdens that get in the way of us being able to experience the fullness of God's love and the richness of community. And so part of our Reformed worship tradition is to come together and release that to God through our prayer of confession. And so together as a congregation, we pray these words knowing that we're praying to the God who created us and loves us and wants the best for us. So let us enter into this prayer together. It is printed in your bulletin. When you created us, passionate God, you breathed your spirit into us, giving us a part of yourself, so that when we pull away from you through self-focused living that ignores the needs of others, with thoughtless words that demean others and deny their worth, by self-righteous certitude that leaves no room for the Holy Spirit to act, in refusing to imagine that our hearts can be as kind and generous as yours. It is like we are stealing your breath and tearing your body apart. Forgive us, O God, for such selfishness, for causing such damage. Teach us yet again in Jesus the capabilities and responsibilities we bear as those who contain your spirit. Friends, do not dwell any longer on our brokenness. Let us instead accept the grace given to us in the risen Christ. Remember, he has risen to heal us. He has risen to forgive us. He has risen to transform us and to bind us together in love. Friends, Christ has risen so that we too might rise into the love and life he offers and receive the peace God promises. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
First scripture reading this morning comes to us from Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson comes to us from the 21st chapter of John's gospel, one of Jesus' post-resurrection stories. Hear now God's word for God's people. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. When our boys were young, long trips in the car were usually the only way we traveled with them. Fortunately, mercifully, we had a minivan, which usually allowed us to create a small bubble of necessary space around each boy. One riding shotgun up front with me, one in the middle seat with Gina, and the one having the most difficulty with others in the moment was given the back seat all by himself. But even with this thoughtfully planned layout, there were times when the chaos of brothers squabbling with brother or parents squabbling with child still reigned supreme. In these moments, usually Gina or I, as the adults in the car, had the wherewithal, the presence of mind, to realize that hunger was the issue driving the challenging behaviors. And with snacks ready at hand that we quickly doled out, or with a timely stop at a roadside eatery, coupled with a few minutes at a school playground or in a local park, we were able to continue our journey in the relative calm afforded by temporarily full stomachs until the cycle repeated. The fishing trip instigated by Peter at the start of today's gospel lesson appears to me to be driven by two factors. First, I think the disciples were going a little stir crazy. They'd kept a pretty low profile since Jesus' crucifixion, having locked themselves away from the world behind closed doors, afraid that the authorities, the Roman occupiers or the leaders of the temple were coming for them next in an attempt to nip the movement around Jesus in the bud as quickly and as completely as they could. And second, and more urgent than their boredom, I think Peter and the other disciples were simply hungry. The disciples didn't have a plan B for going into hiding if things went wrong, if something terrible happened to Jesus. There was no escape route, there was no safe house, there was no store of food waiting for them to dig into it if needed. I imagine hunger drove them out of hiding in the dark of night, and that fishing was what they knew how to do and was so viewed as the quickest and easiest way to get some food in their stomachs. But then the fish weren't biting, and as the eastern sky is growing brighter in the moments before dawn, we can almost feel the tension growing in that small boat, not unlike rising tension of hungry boys in a small minivan. And I find it fascinating as our story continues beyond the point where we stopped reading this morning. I find it fascinating that when Jesus, who's on the beach, though unrecognizable to them, when Jesus calls out to the disciples from the shore, he begins with the word children. For Jesus, though initially unknown by his disciples, understands the fearfulness, understands the hopelessness, understands the physical hunger in which his friends currently exist. He offers them care and refuge in the form of a large catch of fish, and then once they get to the beach with him, there is a revelatory beach breakfast. Jesus knows that it is always easier to see and grasp hope on a full stomach. Jesus knows that feelings of contentment and goodness make it possible for disciples to recognize the resurrected him. And in their recognition, Jesus charges his disciples to live a God-focused future by offering all others the grace and hope and love which they know in him. As we move to the psalm, in a moment of need, very much like that of the disciples in our gospel lesson, the author of Psalm 16 asks for God's protection because she knows that only God can provide the care and the refuge that makes her life sustainable. For God's care and refuge for God's people translates into lives that follow God's path. Lives that know the fullness of holy joy. Lives that are focused outward on behalf of others. It is to this same life that Jesus invited his first disciples, the life which he continues to invite us, you and me, who are his disciples today. A life marked by the wisdom of God's counsel and instruction in God's priorities, a life that knows the presence of God, which is closer than our breath, and which steadies us amidst the chaos that is too often our world. a life filled with deep gratitude and nimble imagination and a transforming absence of fear, because God never gives us up, never gives us up to any other power, never gives us up to any other person. A life where all are welcomed on God's path of grace without exception, without exclusion. A life where we are invited and expected to treat all others, exactly like God treats us. I told you last week about Presbyterian pastor and poet Tom Schumann, who recently read his way through the Bible in an entire year, reading several chapters from three or four different books each day as he worked his way through, and then using one of the passages he had read that particular day as inspiration for writing a brief poem, which was an extension of his spiritual discipline. He assembled these poems in a thought-provoking little book entitled Grace Will Walk Us Home. And Schumann's poetic reflection on Psalm 16, which is found in the side window on your bulletin, his reflection is a psalm prayer to God, and it goes like this. May we be the umbrella for those showered by hate, the cradling lap for children who tremble in the night, the heart hallowed by grief, so that we can embrace all who have lost everything. Even as you are all this and more for us. In a world where chaos all too easily encourages our uncertainty as disciples, uncertainty in the choices we make, uncertainty in the faithfulness we practice, uncertainty in how we share grace, Schumann's poem outlines in very practical ways how we may free ourselves from the paralysis of uncertainty, and in freeing ourselves, how we may then do something to make a difference for others, providing physical and emotional protection, offering the warmth and comfort of appropriate human touch, acknowledging the life-altering grief someone is experiencing, and we can offer that acknowledgement because we've been there too, refusing to give up on another because we know that God and Jesus never gives up on us. And so taking all these different words, all these different inspirations from God this morning, I invite us in the days and weeks ahead for our spiritual homework this week to see and feel and recognize how our spirits are fed and nourished and cared for in the love of Jesus. And I'd like us to do this by embracing the hope of God's care and refuge, the hope of God's grace in which we are all so blessed to dwell. And then I'd like us to use the opening line of Schumann's little poem, May We Be. Let us embrace this little line, May We Be, as our call to ministry through service in the days ahead. May we be what? How will each of us respond completely to this sentence, faithfully to this sentence with our lives? May we be so filled with joy, the joy of God's love, that others will want to know our secret? May we be a praying presence for those who are lost and unsure of whom God has made them to be. May we be a place of rest for those who are wearied by the unrelenting pace of the world. May we be a beacon of hope for all who have fallen into the deep holes of life. Our ability to be hope for them because we've already been there in that hole and we know something about how to get out. May we be a source of unanticipated grace because we've known the sting of judgment and want to help others avoid such unjust pain. May we be the arms that silently enfold someone numb with grief, maybe allowing them to begin to feel just a little bit again. May we be. What has God prepared us to do? What has God prepared us to offer? Where has God placed us in relation to the deep needs of the world? How has God gifted us so that we may offer care to all whom we encounter? When has God shown us the importance of leading with grace and letting go of judgment? May we be those who love the hangry in our lives and in our world to a more peace-filled place, a more grace-filled place with a bit of food and a few minutes to run around, whether that's because they're stuck in a minivan or stuck in a small fishing boat. May we be this day and all days the disciples of Jesus God needs us to be. Amen. And let us stand and together, using the words in our bulletin, affirm our faith, part of which we believe. We believe in the God that accompanies us along every step of our way through life, many times walking behind us, watching us, and suffering with our mistakes, at other times walking beside us, talking to us, and teaching us, as well as at times of walking ahead of us, guiding and marking our path and purpose. We believe in Jesus Christ, who lived as one of us, who walked in our ways, and knows the lights and shadows we experience, who ate and knew hunger, who had a home and suffered loneliness, who was praised and condemned, kissed and spat upon, loved and hated, who attended weddings and funerals, and who laughed and cried with friends. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in every moment and every one of us, who is always with us, always leading us into God's unfolding future, and whoever invites us to live in hope. Amen.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Hi, my name is Kathy Gunn, and I'm a member of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. While my husband and I were looking for a church several years ago, we knew that we wanted a place where we felt at home. We're grateful to have found that place in Tab. We were welcomed by many friendly people when we arrived in the beautiful sanctuary. 11 years later, we're still inspired by the worship, the music, the teaching, and the way people are welcomed just as we were. We're glad to be part of the Tab family. I'm Kathy Gunn, and I invite you to come see for yourself.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.